Well, let's come now to the Lord in prayer as we ask for his blessing upon his word. Let's pray. Today, O Lord, we worship you with gladness. For you are the one who owns and controls the cosmos, the entire universe. This earth is yours and everything in it, the world and all those who dwell in it. We worship you, O Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the land. You are the master designer of the day and the night. And you bring out the starry hosts one by one and call them each by name. Lord, let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. And yet all this vastness of all that you've made is as nothing in light of all that you really are. In comparison, it's just a tiny glimpse of your greatness, just a whisper of your awesomeness. In comparison to you, how small the universe is. And certainly that's the case, how small we are compared to you. And yet, as we gather here once again on this day, Lord, we acknowledge that praises belong to you from everlasting to everlasting. And that wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. You are exalted as head over all. And you give us, Lord, what we stand in need of from day to day as creatures who are made in your image and in your likeness. And that we have that privilege and honor of being able to worship you, being able to speak to you in prayer, being able to hear you speak to us in your word. And as we've gathered here a second time, Lord, we ask that you would grant to us a rich measure of your spirit, that as we look at your word, as we see the truths that we find displayed there, you would give us listening ears, and that you would teach us, O Lord, how to pray. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at Lord's Day 50, which is dealing with the fourth petition. So I ask you to turn there, first of all, to that, which is found on page 895, the back of the hymnal, 895, Lord's Day 50. We got one question and answer there. We'll read that responsively again. So we're asked in question 125, what does the fourth petition mean? Give us this day our daily bread means provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. Turn also to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and we'll read from verses 22 to 34. And that's found on page 1199 of the Pew Bible, Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, and verses 22 to 34. Hear now God's holy word. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows what you need, that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And that concludes the reading of God's holy word. May he bless that. Well, our text this afternoon is specifically the fourth petition, as we find it in both Matthew and Luke. Give us this day our daily bread. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, having focused on the first three requests of the Lord's Prayer, we now come to the last three. We've made it clear that there's a difference between two kinds of petitions in this prayer. The first three petitions have to do with our relationship to God. But when we come to the next three petitions, we see that they have to do with our needs before the face of God. It's not that the first part is meant to flatter him so that he'll answer our requests the way that we want. The second half of the prayer brings the Lord more specifically into our lives. Turning to Lord's Day 50, we see something that may surprise us. This part of the prayer has to do with bread. Now, this isn't referring to spiritual bread or to our spiritual needs. It's dealing with our physical needs. And maybe we don't expect that. We might think that to be spiritual, our spiritual needs are first more important. And they should be prayed for first of all. That there should be a priority for that. To pray for God's forgiveness of sins and help in temptation. But bread is placed first in the order of this prayer. Why is that? Well, we know that bread always was and is the staff of life. We also know that God wants to teach us that all of life is under His rule. There's no such thing as sacred and secular areas of life. All of life is under the Lord. Our bodies and our souls are important to Him, and He has redeemed us, both body and soul. That's what we confess in Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism. And that's how we must pray. Our bodies belong to Him, and so we must ask that He give us our daily bread, and our souls belong to Him. And we must ask that He would forgive us of our sins and lead us not into temptation, which is the fifth and the sixth petitions. So we ought to, therefore, ask the Lord for His daily provisions. And we're going to look at this afternoon under the theme, hear the word of the Lord under the theme, the fourth petition, the provision of prayer. And we see three things here. First, the substance. Secondly, the source. And then thirdly, the supplication. The substance first. What is the substance? Well, it's bread. We need it in order to live and work for Him. That's what Jesus commanded us to recognize and acknowledge when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." He wanted us to admit our need for daily sustenance and strength, which can only come from Him. Now, the word bread is a broad category. It's more than just the loaf that you buy at the store. It's even more than just a grocery cart full of produce and other groceries. It has a much wider ranging meaning than this, even though it's making reference to those things as well. Really, it is all of our physical needs. What our Lord meant by this petition is that we ask Him to provide us with physical provision. Listen again to the Heidelberg Catechism, the way it explains it. That is, be pleased to provide for all our bodily needs. Congregation, we're not only asking for food. We're asking for everything for the preservation of life. We're asking for whatever helps us to live. And there are other things that we need other than food. For example, we need clothing. Food and clothes, those are our basic bodily needs according to the Scriptures. If we don't have those, we will die. These are the things that keep us alive. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be what? Paul said, we shall be content. God's Word says also in Proverbs 30, Agur wrote, give me neither poverty or riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God. Now you might say, we don't suffer for lack of this. So why bother praying in this way? Why should we see our need for these things when we have plenty of food in our refrigerators? Our cupboards are overflowing. We have stock of all kinds of food in the cupboard. And our closets are full of clothing. You look at the excess of our society and all the donations that go to the thrift store. There's just so much stuff. But if that's how we feel, then we've missed the point of this request. It ought to thrill us to think that our Heavenly Father, the God who is in control of all the stars in heaven and all the planets around us, around the world, who's eternal and not bound by time or space, that this eternal Father in heaven could care for us in this way. The same holy and great God makes sure that our physical needs are met. We can't even survive without Him. Actually, we should be even more thankful to Him because He's given us more than what's necessary for life. We don't deserve even the basic, most basic things that we must have to sustain us. And yet, how common it is today for people to take those things for granted. How easy it is to complain. How easy it is to have sort of an attitude of entitlement that the government owes me this. Or that we're entitled to everything from health care to work benefits. What a radical thing it is to say in contrast to this, as Jacob once did in Genesis 32, when he said to the Lord, Lord, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies which you have shown to your servant. And so, congregation, do you trust in God alone to provide for your needs? Think of the blessings that God has given us. We're given other blessings, like houses to live in, families, and good home life. We have work that we're able to eat our bread. We have favorable weather to live and work in. We live in somewhat of a peaceful land. All these things are from His gracious hand. Even some of the blessings that we often take for granted, like running water, electricity, and heat. And yet even these are good and perfect gifts from our Heavenly Father. And it shows us how much He loves us. He gives us more than the necessities of life. He blesses us beyond what we need. If we don't see our daily need, the need for our daily provisions from the possessor of the heaven and the earth, then we've missed the point of this prayer. Brothers and sisters, we have need of bread. and he gives it to us, even though we don't deserve it. And that ought to excite us to think that he supplies us for all of our physical needs. What a wonderful provision this really is. And what a caring God we have. So that leads us to the second point, the source. Notice we must say, give our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. We're given it not because we deserve it. It's not ours by right. The Lord gives it to us. He makes it our possession. The question is, why does he provide it and make us call it our own? And the answer is because he is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord our provider. He's the source. He gives us what we need. So this petition then is undoubtedly a confession of dependence. What we're saying is, Lord, I realize that you are the source of my life. You give me food, clothing, and shelter. You give me everything that I need, and I'm truly thankful for this. Again, we might not be crying out in starvation. In fact, sometimes we might say, Lord, don't give me so much. But we have to be able to say, and hopefully we will never have to say, oh God, I'm in great need. I have enough, I don't even have enough food in my cupboard to feed my kids. Where am I going to get it? Thankfully, we don't have to say that. And hopefully we don't ever have to say that to him. But what we certainly can say to him right now is, everything that I have is from your gracious hand. All that I share with my family and friends, it's not my own. It's a gift from you. And I'm truly thankful for it. Notice again the language of Lord's Day 50. It says that we may acknowledge you to be the only source of all good, and that neither our care and our work nor your gifts can profit us in any way apart from your blessing. That's why Jesus commanded us to use these words, because we have a tendency to think that we can provide everything for ourselves. What do we owe the Lord? Why would we want to acknowledge him to be our helper? Why do we need God? Bad attitude. That's the overconfident attitude that we see in the world, and it has some influence on us as well. We live in a day when people think that they can make it on their own. They go to work and make money, and they think that it all belongs to them. They save it up for themselves. They spend it on themselves. They do what they want with it. And they take pride in themselves, forgetting that it's the Lord who gives all this. It's the Lord of heaven and earth who has given them blessings as well. But that's an attitude that God will correct. If that's in us now, he'll correct that. He doesn't want us to think that way. He wants us to ask him, because he's always a loving father to those who belong to him. We only need to ask and to hold out our hand and say, please give. And we receive in abundance. We see that in the life of Israel, God's people. And we see that in our lives as well. We should see that in our lives as well. Time and again, we're reminded about the truth of our Savior's words concerning the Father's good and gracious hand. Therefore, Jesus says, do not worry about what you shall eat or what you shall wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God's word is full of his generosity. And that puts us to shame, really, because we're so possessive. We buy and we hold on to everything that we have. We won't let go of anything valuable. But God's not like that. He's the Lord. He's the great giver of life. And he gives us what we need. Brothers and sisters, when was the last time we sincerely prayed, Lord, I am so thankful for what you have given me. I have food, clean water, clothing, place to rest my head. When's the last time you prayed that with sincerity? Children, are you really thankful for what God gives you? Do you see that the Lord is really the source? He's the giver of all of this. Or do we just rattle off our prayers to make sure that our duty is done? We know we prayed, therefore we can now eat. But that's what he wants here. He cares about the little things in life, and he's very involved in all aspects of life. Jesus said, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouses nor barns. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Ravens. Not a terribly attractive bird. They're like crows, but a little bit bigger. Great squawking creatures with black, beady eyes. According to the law, they were ceremonially unclean. Leviticus 11 says that they were quite detestable. And yet, Jesus uses this example. God graciously provides everything for them. Jesus points out that these birds get what they need without reaping or storing. They're scavengers. They're far from being farmers. They take what they can get. And nevertheless, they get what they need. Jesus uses that to say, how much more valuable are you? If God takes care of scavengers, how much more he takes care of you? And Jesus also says to consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. If you walk on a wilderness trail this time of the year and see all the wildflowers, they don't do anything to make themselves look beautiful. God allows a small seed to fall to the ground. He sends rain in the spring, and they grow up looking beautiful. They don't do anything to make themselves look the way that they do. The Lord makes them look that way. And yet, Jesus says again, he cares even more for you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He puts clothing on your back. And therefore, Jesus says, do not worry. Do not fret. Trust in the Father. It's actually amazing to think what he gives us, congregation. He's not a God of disorder. He's not simplistic. He didn't create just one type of vegetable to eat. He didn't just create lettuce. Right? He's made all kinds of different vegetables and fruits. And more than one kind of animal. He's all-powerful and all-knowing. He's concerned about harmony and beauty. He created color and tastes and flavor. He made a variety of everything. Just look around you, children. Think of all the things that our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, made. He set up ecosystems. He made environments where plants and animals can grow. He brings seasons so that the plants can grow at certain times of the year. He put minerals in the soil, in the ground, to make it fertile, to make it so that the plants can grow. He brings rain in order for your vegetables in the garden to grow. It's from animals that you get clothing and meat. We read about that in Psalm 104, where the psalmist says that the Lord has created plant and animal kingdoms and controls the seasons in order for them to live. All of these things we have for our own use. And so, congregation, all this goes to show us how much we count on the Lord. Whether we're sensitive to that or not, this is the truth. We count on the Lord. All things are from Him. We depend upon what He gives from day to day. And it shows us how little we appreciate this when we do not recognize it and affirm that he daily cares for us. Let us remember that it is the Lord who gives us the power to make a living. He gives you the ability to take a shovel and dig a hole. He's the one who gives you the brains to figure out a math problem. He gives you the skill to manage your business. He alone is the one who gives the ability to act to the glory of his name. So let us depend upon him from day to day. Let us be able to wait upon him one day at a time. Let us be content with what he gives us with a daily confidence in him. He has blessed us with many things, and he deserves our thanks and praise for everything that we have. Well, that brings us to our third point, the supplication. Notice again that before we even ask that our sins be forgiven and that we not be led into temptation, we ask that he would supply for our physical needs. We have that little word, give. Give us this day our daily bread. We're asking that he supply all that we need for the day, even for small things. We're asking that he would care for us physically, for all things needful for the body. That's why Jesus gave the fourth petition along with the fifth petition and the sixth petition. It gives us the proper balance to prayer. Jesus Christ has taken ownership of us by faith in him. 1 Corinthians 3 says, "And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's." After all, what do we confess on Lord's Day 1? We confess that I, not with just soul, belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I with body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's not unspiritual then to ask for God to care for us physically since we're Christ's. He promises that he will give us all that we need for this life. Psalm 33 verse 18 says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." Another more familiar passage from the book of Proverbs says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." And it says a little bit further down in that passage, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and that your vats will overflow with new wine." We have that little word there in this prayer this day, daily. And that underlines the fact that we're to pray for the needs of the moment and not of the distant future. We're to ask to supply our daily needs. And as for the future, we're called to trust him. That's the way that the Lord dealt with his people, giving them manna every day. Not just so they could hoard it all and have enough for the future, but no, every day, each day of the week. And he also dealt the same way with Elijah. Children, you remember the story of Elijah when he was out the brook, God sent to him bread through ravens. He had food every day. That's what the Lord does for those who are his own. The righteous always have provisions. There may be famines. There may be many struggles and problems in this world. The point of this prayer is that the saints are always cared for. The saints may not always have everything as abundantly as others, but they will always have what they need. So what should our attitude be? Well, it should be like Proverbs 30. Agor, who prayed, "Lord, please don't give me too much that I deny you. Please don't give me too little that I resort to stealing and blaspheme your name. Please give me exactly what should be allotted to me so that I can be content with that." Please help me not to be so concerned about my physical needs that I forget you. Having too much can lead to pride, but have too little can cause us to renounce what this part of the disciples' prayer is teaching. Therefore, we have to ask the Lord to help us to pray this request with the wisdom of Agor. And that's exactly what Jesus meant by commanding us to ask that the Lord give us daily bread. It's a daily provision. He wants us to be content with what we basically need. He doesn't want us to be preoccupied with the physical. He says a little bit later on in that passage in Luke 12, "And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind." In other words, don't get anxious about life. Don't worry all the time. Because worry is a thief. Worry is a thief. It's a thief of our time. Our thoughts turn to troubles, and then rather than praying about that, we waste our time. It's a thief of our time. Worry is also a thief of our rest. We're up all night. We can't sleep. We get anxious about tomorrow. And then you're tired the next day. It's a thief of sleep. Worry also steals our health. We suffer ill effects by worrying all the time. And worry also steals our hope. It steals our hope as we fear the worst about the future. All kinds of difficulties arise in our minds as we worry about what might come to pass. What a sad waste of time. We're called instead to trust God. We're to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The Lord's saying, if you'll just acknowledge that I'm the one who provides, then I'll take care of the rest. And He's also saying that the kingdom, His kingdom, should be the most important to us. What is the kingdom that we desire most of all? And the support of that, giving towards that, then all these things shall be added to you. So don't get caught up worrying about things, Jesus says. I'm going to take care of you. All that you have to do is trust in me. Doesn't mean that we're idle. God's word says that when you do not work, you do not eat. We're worse than an infidel if we don't look after our own household. An infidel is an unbeliever. Rather, He supplies our need through our own efforts. He gives bread for our labor when we're willing to work. But what about people who, God's people who suffer persecution? What about the saints that we read about in Hebrews 11? Some who were mocked and scourged. Some of them were forsaken and thrown into prison. Others wandered in the deserts and mountains and caves and dens, and they only had goat skins and sheepskins for clothing. Did the Lord hear their prayers? Doesn't that contradict what we're talking about today? No. What about when we suffer serious illness and we grow weaker and weaker? What about when our health begins to fail? Doesn't that go against what we're asking in this prayer? No, it doesn't. It can't, because the Lord doesn't neglect His own. He still gives us what we need. He promises to give us all that's necessary for this present life until we're brought to the next one. He supplies our need until it's time for us to pass away from this life. He may choose to take us home at any time by taking away the basic needs of life, but that's all part of His plan for us. And when this physical life ends, we won't be concerned about our daily bread. When we enter into His eternal presence, we don't have to pray this prayer anymore, because we'll be provided for completely. We see God face to face when we're with the Lord. And so, congregation, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, what we're saying is that we trust in the Lord. We acknowledge Him, that we belong to Him, both body and soul. We pray to Him as those who are willing to walk in obedience and to submit to His will. We give Him thanks, knowing that He will help us. Firstly, we must see our substance, it's bread. We not only have spiritual needs, we also have physical ones. We need everything necessary for our bodies. And we're also seeing that He is the source, who gives us what we need. He tells us to call it our daily bread, because everything He gives is a gift to us. We don't do anything to receive His blessings. Our efforts don't supply our needs. Our work itself doesn't get it. The Lord gives us work and money. He gives us food. It all comes from Him, and He wants us to acknowledge this and trust Him. And thirdly, our supplication is that He bless us because we're His people. We ask the Lord to give us because we know that the God, that He is the source of all things. What about the frequency of this request? How often should we ask for this? We're to say this day, meaning that we rely on Him one day at a time. We're simply saying, Father, I trust that You will give me what I need this day. I'm content with what You give me from day to day. I'm confident that You know exactly what I need. I don't need to fear the future. I'm not afraid about tomorrow. I am in Your hands. Congregation, may we remember that He is our source and that all of our physical needs are met by Him. And may the Lord continue to supply us, that we would glorify His name. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for this disciples' prayer given to us as Your disciples. We thank You for the simplicity of it, but how profound it is and how it reminds us again of the basics. We thank You for the truth of Your word that we could consider this day. Help us, Lord, not to worry. Forgive us of our worry and help us to trust in You completely. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.